Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 119 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. We're going to talk a lot of wrestling tonight. Of course, on Monday night, we had the annual Jag-Hawk Showdown at Ankeny. And this year's battle went to the Hawks by a score of 43-24. My first guest tonight is the head coach at Centennial, and he has guided the Jaguars to a 5-3 record this season. He is Jay Groth. Jay, thanks for joining me here on the phone. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. It's always good to talk wrestling with somebody and get it out there for people to hear.
Hey, you bet. Well, I've been watching the news all day. I'm ready to get away from the TV and all that nonsense in Washington. So,
well, yeah, me too. I'm glad to be in the wrestling room where there's no newscast and no TV playing. So that's where I'm still sitting at right now. So I'll stay here for a while.
All right. Well, hey, before we look ahead to the rest of the season, you know, let's recap Monday's meet a little bit. It obviously didn't turn out the way that you guys wanted it to, but, you know, Ankeny is definitely ranked for a reason. They got a good team, don't they?
They do. They got some good kids in the lineup, and they all wrestled hard on Monday, and, you know, it was a good meet, and it was, you know, it wasn't as fun as I would like it to be because I would like to have won the meet, but it was an entertaining meet for the people that could be there, and hopefully we had people watching, and everybody wrestled hard.
Well, your team was missing a couple of your top guys, Lucas Brule and Kale Wiener. I imagine the meet might have been a little closer if those guys, you know, had been in the lineup. But do you think they would have, you know, been able to make up that 19-point difference?
I don't. The two of them, I don't think would make up the 19-point difference. I mean, one of them would have had to wrestle Trevor Anderson, and he's no slouch, that's for sure. We weren't just going to go out there and pin him just because we had Kale or Lucas in the lineup. But I think one factor that sometimes gets overlooked is when your team knows you're missing a couple. You know, he's got a returning state qualifier in Kale Wiener and an AAU state champ and a you know, kid who's ranked as one of the top three freshmen coming in this year. When they're missing from the lineup, that can work its way into the team's psyche as far as, oh man, it's going to be hard to win this meet now. And you know, maybe they didn't go out and perform as well as they could have because they already felt a little defeated by the fact that we were a little banged up. And we tried to, you know, preach that. What we always preach is that when somebody's out of the lineup, we got the next man in. That's why everybody in here works hard and puts in the time and the effort so that when their chance to shine, you know, happens, they can get out there and do it. So, it's tough to overcome, though, when you're missing a couple of your top kids. It's mentally challenging, certainly, for the rest of the team.
Well, you guys dug yourselves a big hole. You were down 34-6 after the first eight matches. Your only win during that stretch was a forfeit victory by Jackie Wells at 220. But your team certainly didn't throw in the towel. You guys won four of the last six matches, beginning with a fall by Drew Dunn at 132. You know, so you had to be pleased with the way that your guys kept fighting.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, these guys, we're pretty young. You know, we got a few seniors in the lineup, and you know, this a match like Monday night is good. You know, we talk about pressure being a privilege all the time, and being have to be able to perform when the lights are turned off and you're in the spotlight. And you know, I thought our guys all, like you said, they all went out and fought, and they all kept wrestling. Nobody gave up on the mat. Nobody threw in the towel, and it bodes well for what we can continue to learn and do and get better all the time. And hopefully by the time, you know, conference, district, state rolls around, we aren't nearly as affected by the pressure that there is to go out and perform. And we'll just go out and do what we can do.
Well, after Dunn's pin, you then got a big 4-2 victory by Jackson Helmkamp at 138. He defeated Jace Anderson in a matchup of rated wrestlers. Now I know Jackson was nursing a minor injury there before the break, you know, but I guess he's healthy now. And that was a nice win for him, wasn't it?
It was a nice win. Jackson did a good job. He wrestled, you know, full 6 minutes, never let up. Just keep the pressure on. And, you know, he's getting better and better, and he's, you know, believes in himself a little bit more every day and what he's doing, and he's taking a leadership role and, you know, keeping other people working hard and being a good leader in the room and outside of the room. So, you know, I've got nothing but good things to say about Jackson Helmkamp right now.
Well, you guys also got a fall from Carter Bennett at 145 and a 6-2 victory by Owen Vernon at 160. And with Vernon wrestling at 160, you guys moved Carter Cahill up to 170, where he lost to Nate Nesson, another matchup of rated wrestlers. Now, I'm not an expert on wrestling by any means, but I'm guessing you guys, you know, might have moved Carter up because you thought maybe Caleb Rocci would be wrestling at 160. Was that just a strategic move?
No, 52. And his descent plan doesn't allow him to get there yet. So he weighed in at 160, and as well as Carter Cahill. And it was just a decision to, you know, Carter Cahill's a more experienced wrestler, and he's a ranked wrestler. I thought the matchup with Nessa would be better between Carter and I think, is it Nate Nessa?
Right,
and,
right, uh-huh.
So that, it didn't have anything to do with where Ratchy was. We just are working, you know, it's a work in progress, getting our lineup to where everybody's where they're supposed to be and where they're comfortable. You know, actually, you know, you talked about us missing Brule and Wiener, but, you know, we're also missing Griff Weishart right now, another senior that dislocated his elbow early in December, and he's still working his way back too, doing PT and that sort of thing. So, you know, our lineup is far from solidified as of yet. We're still making some changes and getting people where they want to be. And, you know, it's not right now. It's, you know, the kind of the tortoise and the hare. We don't need everybody there right now, right this minute. We need everybody there when it matters the most, which would be the district and state tournament. And so that's. It's just a process we're working on.
Okay. Well, that's why I don't give too much thought to these things, because when I do try to figure out what you guys are doing, I'm usually wrong. So, speaking of Rachi, you know, he did get down to 152 for the first time this season, and he pinned Mason Hondred late in the second period. But I thought Mason put up a pretty good fight there for a while. You know, Rachi's just a beast, though, isn't he?
Rachi is very, very talented. The Hawkeyes are getting a good wrestler with Caleb, and I expect he'll do a lot of good things at the college level, and who knows, maybe the international level if that's what he wants to do. But he is super talented, and I was very, very pleased with Mason going out there. Mason's pretty stoic. He doesn't show a lot of emotion, but he went out there and he got after it. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't timid, and he went out and fought. And that's, you know, that's all we can ask for our kids right now, to do those kind of things.
Well, that was one of five pins by the Hawks, and those bonus points are obviously, you know, crucial in a dual meet. You told me after the meet that you weren't happy with your team's takedown defense. So has that been a point of emphasis in the last couple of days of practice?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're working a lot on, you know, a couple things. We're making sure our defense gets better, and understand that if your defense isn't, if you don't have those fast twitch muscles to sprawl and throw the whizzer in and counter other people's shots, then you better be taking more of your own and being more aggressive on your feet, so that you don't have to react. You can act instead. So, yeah, we've definitely been working on that the last couple of days, and we'll continue to work on that all season long.
Well, Brule wasn't able to wrestle on Monday, but I know he came into the season with a lot of hype. You know, have you been pleased with what you've seen from him so far? He's a pretty talented freshman, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really talented. He's a hardworking kid, comes from a great wrestling family. Brad Brule, you know, is a state champion at Fort Dodge himself, and he coaches on our staff. And a shout out to him and his Brule's mobile chiropractic services, because he fixes old guys up like me sometimes after we get things knocked out of place when we're wrestling with these young kids. But anyway, Lucas is talented, and you know, he loves the sport and he works his tail off, and I think he's going to go on to do great things, and the nice part about Lucas is that he's motivated to do those things all on his own. We don't have to ride him too much to do anything, because he's always going full speed and staying later and coming early and doing all the right things.
All right. Well, Monday's meet was part of a busy week for you guys. Your team will host a double dual meet against Marshalltown and Valley on Thursday, and then you'll go to Marshalltown for a tournament on Saturday. You know, I'm sure your guys will be anxious to get back on the mat again tomorrow, won't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got a few guys in here working a little bit of extra weight off right now, and getting a little extra technique in, and we're ready to go. We have Marshalltown. We'll wrestle Marshalltown tomorrow at 6:30. Then Marshalltown and Valley will wrestle each other, and then we'll wrestle Valley to finish off the night. And, yeah, we're looking forward to it. Valley, Marshalltown's got some real solid kids, especially like Williams brothers, and I think Hageman's in there. He's a tough kid. So they'll bring some talent with them tomorrow, and then of course Valley, I think, is ranked dual team wise in the top six or seven, and they got some real good kids too. We're still going to be without Cale Wiener, and you know, we'll see. We're not rushing Brule back. He he had the flu, having the flu and then trying to lose a little weight, we're just going to feel it out tomorrow, see where he's at and see what happens. Again, it's tortoise in the hair. We're concerned about, finishing the race in the lead at the end and not being in the lead when it starts.
Right. Well, next week you guys will go to Fort Dodge for another big dual meet against the Dodgers, and then you'll return to Fort Dodge later this month for the conference tournament, where you'll get another chance to wrestle against Ankeny. Now, that tournament replaces the big CIML invite that you've always gone to, and of course, Fort Dodge has already got a dual meet win over the Hawks. Do you think they'd have to be the favorite going into that tournament?
Yeah, I think so. In our little subgroup that we're going to wrestle in, I think there'll just be six teams there. Fort Dodge is solid team. We wrestled and we went up to the Fort Dodge invite right before Christmas and competed up there, and we did pretty well. And we were missing one of our Helmkamp didn't wrestle in that one, and we lost to Dowling by a point, so we got third, and Fort Dodge got first. So, we've seen some of their kids already. We know what they're capable of. They got the pound for pound number one ranked kid in the nation with Ayala at 126. So, we know that they're talented, and Ankeny's talented, and it's getting closer to the end of the race then. So hopefully we'll have people where they're supposed to be, and we can go out there as a balanced team from top to bottom. Everybody's where they're at, and we're certainly not going to concede anything to Fort Dodge or Ankeny. We're going to try to win that tournament and win the district and go on to state and try to do more of the same.
Well, it should be a good tune-up for the postseason, I would think. And when you guys used to compete, in that that larger CIML invite, I know some of the coaches didn't like that tournament. I mean, and do you like the smaller tournament as opposed to that big 18-team event?
I don't. I like that 18-team event just because, if you can do well in that tournament, if you can finish in the top four or five in that tournament, then you got a pretty good shot of finishing in the top five or six at the state tournament. I mean, there's kids that finish higher at the state tournament than they do at the CIML, and again, kids don't learn how to perform under pressure unless they actually have to perform under pressure, and so getting them out there in a meat grinder like that CIML tournament is, and having to perform with lots of fans, maybe not this year, but lots of fans in the stands and lots of people cheering and making a lot of noise, it's great for us, especially as we move then on to districts and state, and we're in an environment where there's also a whole bunch of people cheering and yelling, and you're kind of in the spotlight. So I like it. I hope that we can continue doing it.
All right. Well, of course, Southeast Polk is a team that has often dominated that CIML event, and you guys know that you're headed to Marshalltown for the district tournament this year, and Southeast Polk is going to be one of the teams there in your district. So that obviously, means that a lot of the weights, there's maybe only going to be one spot, to the state tournament up for grabs. That's going to make it pretty tough, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's a tough district. Anytime Southeast Polk is there, and I think we've had Southeast Polk at our district at least five or six times out of this, including this year, out of the 8 years we've been in existence, we've been in the same district as Southeast Polk. So, again, they're a very good team, but we're not ready to say they've wrapped up those spots for them yet. We're going to go out there and fight them too, just like everybody else, and try to get our kids into the state tournament and onto the podium. And we actually, you're talking about our schedule. Next week Saturday we go up to Osage, and Osage was state champ last year, and Southeast Polk is there also, and they were dual team state champs last year. And we're going to the Ed Winger at Urbandale. It'll be a little bit modified, but there's a ton of good teams there, and so we're putting our kids in position to know what they need to do. And sometimes we take a loss and hopefully learn more from a loss than we do from a win, and just keep getting tougher every day.
Well, of course, the season got off to a delayed start because of the COVID-19 situation. So at this point, I'm sure you guys are just glad to be wrestling, aren't you?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, win or lose right now, it's just good to make sure that we can continue to compete. And I hope, it's a headache to, follow the protocols that we have to follow here in practice every day and at meets when we're sitting, 6 feet apart, and kids are kids. So I'm constantly at meets and on the bench and that sort of thing, telling them, put that mask up over your nose and your mouth, cover your face, do what you're supposed to do. Hopefully the vaccine will continue to be spread spread, or, you know, to distribute it out there, and we get more and more people treated, and we can just kind of breathe a little bit easier, literally, no pun intended there, to just stay safe and stay healthy, and hopefully we don't have this post-holiday spike that a lot of people are talking about, and we can just keep going and keep doing what we do.
Yeah, for sure. I'm looking forward to the day when we can have my guests back here in the office doing the podcast with me. But we'll make the best of it in the meantime. But
I miss the free Gatorade and water when I come to the office. I just got to sit in the corner of the wrestling room right now. It's hot in here.
Yeah, I'll bet. Well, hey, just one more question for you, Jay. You know, in the past few years, you've had some guys like Ben Monroe, Logan Neils, and Eric Owens who have not only been able to make it to state, but they've made it all the way to the finals. You know, do you feel like you have some guys on the team this year that if they can get to state that, you know, they could go on a similar run and maybe be wrestling on that Saturday night at Wells Fargo Arena?
I do. Got a large group of them that if they believe in themselves, we haven't kind of pushed that a lot, is that, you know, there's been a lot of kids that go to state with, you know, that weren't undefeated and that weren't, you know, 33-2, who find their way to the top of the podium when they get in the zone and believe in their abilities. And I got great coaches here. I mean, if you look at our staff, you know, Chris Halblum's got 3 state titles and 4 times in the finals, and Tyler Willer's a couple state titles, and Brad Brule's state titles and state finals appearance, and Mike Fontana in the state finals, and Colston DeBlasi, who is a 3-time state champ and led the NCAA in D1 and pins for the last 2 years in a row. So, you know, we've got a lot of guys in here that have been there as athletes and coaches, and we will continue. And that's kind of a point of emphasis for us, is that, you know, we got a lot of second places right now. We need somebody or a group of people to step up and get to the top. And we got the talent in here. We just got to continue to believe that we can do it.
All right, Jay. Hey, really appreciate your time. Thanks a lot for that time. And I'll let you go. Good luck the rest of this week.
All right. Thanks, Dan. We'll talk to you again soon.
You bet. Thanks. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, my next guest is the head coach at Ankeny, and he has guided the 7th-ranked Hawks to a 2-3 mark. His team is coming off Monday's win over Centennial, which was Ankeny's first victory over the Jaguars since 2017. He's Jack Wignall. Jack, thanks for joining me on the phone. How you doing?
I'm great, Dan. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on the big win the other night. I know it's been a while since you guys have beaten the Jaguars. You know, it had to feel awfully good.
Yeah, it's been a while, and it did feel good. Winning's always nice. That's what you do this for. But getting the win over Centennial after it had been a while, it was good for us. We needed that.
Well, I thought the two teams were fairly evenly matched going in, and that the outcome, you know, could come down to bonus points. That didn't turn out to be the case, but you guys did get 5 falls, so you certainly got those bonus points when you had the chance, didn't you?
Yeah, that's something that we talked about all week, but we dueled this on a Monday, which was odd.
Right.
But leading up to this duel meet, we talked about the importance of getting bonus points when we can, and not giving up bonus points if we get put on our back or get a tough kid. For the most part, both of those things happened. We got the bonus points when we should have, and we had some kids fight off their back. I know our 220 that we bumped up to heavyweight, he was in a real tight match and never gave up any near fall points. So, which ended up winning in the match. So fighting in those positions are things that we have been really stressing with the kids.
Now, I know Centennial was a little shorthanded, and you told me afterwards that you didn't know that Lucas Brule and Kale Wiener would be out of the Jaguars lineup until they showed up and those guys didn't weigh in. But even if they had been at full strength, you know, were you pretty confident going into the meet? Did you feel like, you know, you guys matched up with them pretty well?
Well, confident going into that dual meet before, and our kids haven't necessarily arrived, rose to the occasion.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a lot about that leading up to this as well. We always felt that if we could win the swing matches that we needed to win, that we had a real good chance of beating them, and we haven't done that over the years. So we trained right up to that that meet, knowing that we were going to have to win some swing matches. And I knew it was going to be close. Jay Gross always puts a solid team together, and he knows how to win. And so it was going to be our kids coming out and fighting in every position that was going to give us that chance to win. If we did that, we knew it was going to be a close duel. If Lucas and Kale were in there, we knew it would be close. We didn't have to worry about that. Our kids, we won the swing matches and got bonus points. That was a huge thing for us to come out and fight hard against Centennial. I don't think we've done that like we've needed to over the years. That was a catalyst for that. Just the kids stepping up and wrestling like we've trained them to do.
Well, you guys got a big pin from Cade Benetham right off the bat at 182. You know, do you think that kind of set the tone for the meet?
Yeah, I do. He wrestled really well. He can be kind of a up and down kid from meet to meet. Sometimes he just blows my socks off with what he's able to do. He pinned a kid from Fort Dodge in our second dual meet of the year. And then he'll come in and wrestle another kid and not be as consistent. But on Monday, that kid that beat the Fort Dodge kid came out in Cade. So the biggest thing for Cade right now is to be consistent. And not be that up and down wrestler. He needs to be that dominant every time he goes out there. Our kids need to believe that when it doesn't matter who they wrestle, they need to go out there and wrestle the same way every single time. And that's to push the pace and really, really get after it and not worry about who they're wrestling.
Well, your team won 7 of the first 8 matches, losing only at 220, where you gave up a forfeit. You talked about moving Alex Schwede up to heavyweight earlier, and he did respond with a 5-2 decision over Logan Boyle. So was that just a strategic move?
Yeah, it was. When we wrestled Waukee and Dowling before Christmas break, and we did the same thing in the Dowling duel, and oddly enough, the kid from Dowling and Boyle from Centennial are pretty similar built wrestlers. And Alex went out there against the kid from Dowling and wrestled the same way that he did against Boyle. So we knew he could do it. We knew he could battle and wrestle that style of match. And he has gotten a lot stronger, a lot more powerful. And his mindset is so much different than it has been the last 4 years from eighth grade to his junior year. And, you know, that comes with experience and just the strength and power that he's gained over the last 6 or 7 months. So we knew he could go in there and battle. I was really impressed with the Boyle kid, though. You know, if it's one thing that Centennial and Coach Montana know how to do is make heavyweight wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew that kid was going to be tough, and I was so impressed with how Alex handled the weathered the storm in that first period, and then just kept battling the entire time. I was really impressed.
Well, 4 of your team's pins came from some of your ranked guys. Ben Hansen at 106, Trevor Anderson at 120, Kale Cox at 126, and Caleb Rocci at 152. You know, you guys obviously have some hammers in your lineup, and those guys went out there and did what you expect them to do, didn't they?
Yeah, and you know, we lost our first dual meet against Cedar Falls at the beginning of the year. And oddly enough, three of those guys didn't get pinned. Ben Hansen got a tech fall, but I don't think Trevor, Kale, or Caleb got pinned in that Cedar Falls duel. So for those guys to come in with Centennial and get the falls that we needed them to have, was big. I mean, Cedar Falls was our first duel, so it's always tough to prepare for that. But to do that against Centennial and have them get the falls like we wanted them to, it was huge. That's huge for our duel.
Well, that your team also got an impressive win from Fanu Mahan at 113. I hope I pronounced his name right there. He was really, really aggressive. He was really aggressive in that match, a 17-7 win over Peyton Bright. Does he always wrestle that aggressively?
Yeah. We've really worked on pacing with our kids through drilling and in our live wrestling to make sure that we are in good shape. And he has that motor. You look at Ben Hansen and Trevor and Mahan and Kale Cox. Trevor is the king of the mountain there. And he hammers those guys. Kale can give a package. He hammers those guys every day in practice. Trevor has such a high pace and a high motor that those four guys have gotten so good because they wrestle with each other every single day. And that is where Mahan is really learning how to wrestle. It's unbelievable how far he's come since eighth grade. That was his first year of wrestling, was in eighth grade, and he's just a sophomore. So what he can do and how he does it is phenomenal, phenomenal.
Now, I don't know exactly where he's originally from, but I know late in that match, the referee asked the coaches to translate something to Fanu for him. So is that a challenge to coach someone, you know, like that, who doesn't speak the same language that you do, you know, as well as you do?
No. Mahan is a straight-A student and very smart. His English is awesome.
Oh, that's good.
So that's not an issue. If you remember Barsat that wrestled for us 2 or 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
It was Caleb's freshman year when Caleb broke his ankle. He filled in for us, and that was Barsat's first year. That's Barsat's little brother.
Oh, okay.
And we always said that if Barsat could have wrestled with us for 4 years, how good he could have been. Well, we're getting to see that now with his brother, Mahan. And so it is so much fun to watch this kid progress. It's amazing.
We guys ended the meet on another high note when Nate Nessa posted an 8-6 decision over Carter Cahill at 170 in a matchup of rated wrestlers. You know, after transferring to Ankeny from Ballard, you know, Nate's been a nice addition to the team, hasn't he?
He really has. So I looking back at the schedule we created after we got back from being off for 2 weeks, I kind of look back and think, oh, man, that was really tough. I mean, we wrestled Cedar Falls and Fort Dodge, and then we went to the Indianola tournament, and we ran into not only state-ranked kids, but nationally-ranked kids. And then we followed up before Christmas break going with Waukee and Dowling. And that was, we wrestled some of the best kids in the state and best kids in the country in that 7-day span. And so we have guys like Ben Hansen, he's 4-5 right now. I think Mahan is 3-5. Nate Nessa is, I think, 3-5 or 4-5. But they've wrestled the best kids in the country. And it is amazing how resilient they have been, knowing that they got hammered by some of the best kids and just made that transition. Okay, that's over, but let's move on and go to the next meet. So Nate had a good double dual meet with Dowling and Waukee, and then, you know, showed up on Monday night against Centennial and wrestled one of their best kids and just battled the entire time. And it paid off. On Saturday, we had the kids do 2 20-minute grind matches, which is just 20 minutes, go as long and as hard as you can, switch partners, and then do it again. And a lot of kids, after we got done, didn't think they were going to be able to get that done. I think that was a turning point with our kids this season. That, you want me to wrestle 6 minutes? I can do that. I just got done wrestling 40 in a row. And I think that's what really helped Nate win that match, was the fact that he knew he could go 6 minutes hard because he went 40 minutes hard 3 days prior. And so the conditioning won him that match. He's a little raw in some positions, but he doesn't stop, and he's so strong and athletic. we're gonna make him better and better and better as the year goes on. We're excited about him. We're excited about all the kids we have. We're really pleased with how we wrestled on Monday.
All right. Well, there was one other matchup of rated wrestlers, and that came at 138, where Jace Anderson dropped a 4-2 decision to Jackson Helmkamp. Now, I know that was Jace's first match of the season. You told me afterwards that you thought maybe he was still a little tentative with his offense. Do you think he just needs some more matches to get the confidence that he needs, you know, that his shoulder is going to be okay?
He's got an appointment tomorrow to get that shoulder checked. He hasn't been on the mat since the meet on Monday. I don't want to make any excuses for him. The thing is that I know he can go out there and win that match. The tentativeness, the first match, you know, I sat with Jason, talked to him that night, and then again the next day, and he's like, I don't have any excuses. He goes, my shoulder's sore, and you know, but that's not an excuse. I'm better than that. That match that I wrestled. And it doesn't matter if it's my first match. I have a lot of mat experience. That shouldn't matter. I just need to go out there and execute more. So no excuses from Jace. I hope that when he gets checked up tomorrow, he gets a good bill of health and can get back soon. But we won't have him wrestle tomorrow or Saturday for sure. We're just going to kind of play that by ear.
All right. Well, speaking of your schedule, you know, this is a busy week for you guys. You'll travel to Ames on Thursday for a dual meet against the Little Cyclones, and then you'll go up to Dubuque Hempstead for a tournament on Saturday. Now, is that going to be a dual tournament up there?
Yes, it is. Yep.
Will you see some tough teams up there?
It's us, Dubuque Hempstead, Waverly, Shell Rock, and Southeast Polk.
Oh, those are some tough teams.
Yeah. You know, everybody has their philosophy of coaching and how they how to get their kids to be ready for the postseason. I have always wanted to wrestle the best teams, the best kids, even at the expense of losing matches, because I want our kids to wrestle the best and know that they can compete with the best, even if they don't always win the match. And when it comes to the district tournament, most of the time there's not going to be that many tough kids at the district tournament that we've faced, tougher than the kids that we've faced the entire season. And our kids are going to be in shape, battle-tested, and ready to go. I have never cared about my dual meet record. I don't even know what it is as a coach. I know it's losing. I know I've lost more than I have won. But I've also put our team into position to wrestle the best kids and to be ready at district and have the best postseason that we can have. This season's no different. I know that we're going to go up to Waverly, Shell Rock, or up to Dubuque and wrestle those three teams. And we're gonna lay it on the line with the goal of always winning everything that we do, and then we'll just see how the chips fall on Saturday. But I will never do anything different with the teams and the kids that I have. We need to compete with the best to be the best.
All right, and then later this month, your team will host the Bob Sharp Invite on January 16th and the Dave Ewing Duels on January 23rd. Now, will those tournaments look the same as they have in the past, or will they be a little bit different because of what's been going on with COVID?
As far as the number of teams that are attending both of those events, it's going to be the same. Everybody's committed to attending. The difference with the Bob Sharp Invitational is that we won't have a JV portion of it this year.
Okay.
We didn't think with the need for social distancing and you know, essentially doubling the wrestling field that day, that would be in the best interest of all the teams that are going to be there and the fans. So we opted to cut that JV portion out this year. But as of right now, all the teams for the Bob Sharp and the debuting duels are all scheduled to attend.
All right, and then you guys will go to Fort Dodge on January 29th for the conference tournament. Of course, this year that tournament will replace the old 18-team CIML invite that you used to compete in, and your team already dropped a 38-31 decision at Fort Dodge in a dual meet last month, so I'm sure your guys are looking forward to get another crack at them.
we really are. That will be, we're looking forward to that. And, you know, the 18 team CIML tournament was a love hate relationship. I loved going and competing in that, but at that time of the year, it was such a grinder. It can be tougher than the state tournament, certain weight. I hated that aspect just close to the postseason. So going up to Fort Dodge and getting another crack at them and, you know, getting to Russell Centennial again and seeing some of those other teams is going to be nice before we head into the postseason. So we're looking forward to that for sure.
Well, of course, your team will also go to Fort Dodge for the district tournament next month, so you'll see the Dodgers again there. You know, what did you think of your district draw? Do you think there will be a lot of, you know, finals matches between the two teams?
Yeah, I mean, that's our hope. You know, it's easy for us to sit there and say that right now, looking at those teams. But those teams are, all of those teams that are going to go to that are looking to get better every single day and get ready for the postseason. I hope, that's our hope, that we see a lot of Fort Dodge kids in the finals and that we can qualify a lot of kids for the state tournament. I mean, that's the goal every single year. And again, Dan, that's exactly why we wrestle the schedule that we wrestle. And I was willing to put my team out there against, down to Indianola with those nationally ranked teams and with Waukee before Christmas break. But they let us into that dual meet, Waukee did. We didn't have to wrestle that.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted our kids to be ready. I wanted them matches before Christmas break. And I want them to be ready to wrestle at the district tournament in February. So going up to Dubuque is going to be the best thing that we can do. And that's why we do it, so we can be ready at the district tournament and take as many kids as we can to the tournament.
Well, last year you guys placed seventh in the Class 3A state tournament, the highest finish you've had since you've been the head coach. Do you feel like this team could possibly finish even higher, you know, if things go your way?
Yeah, of course, absolutely. You know, that will depend on how many kids we can take to the state tournament, but, you know, we can get two or three kids, four kids into the finals, we feel, if we wrestle the way I know we can wrestle and because of the teams that we've wrestled and the kids that we've seen. And then you get some supporting cast kids that can win a match or two down the state tournament, as well as get some other placementers. You know, we're shooting for a trophy at the state tournament. That's top three. That would be the highest finish that we've had probably since Bob Sharp won it in 1971.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you guys.
That's what we want to do.
Sure. Well, you guys have a two-time defending state champion in Caleb and a previous state champion in Trevor Anderson. You know, in the way those guys are wrestling, I mean, you have to feel pretty confident that you're going to have at least one or two state champs, I would think.
Absolutely. And you know, Cale Cox right now is wrestling at the same level that he ended last season at when he played sixth. So to have him wrestling at that level now is phenomenal. He'll get a good test this weekend against, I think, the Dubuque kids ranked second. I really feel like we can have some really high place winners and finishers this year and have a supporting cast of kids that can win one or two matches down there in the state tournament. It's exciting to let your mind kind of drift that way and know that we can have some state champs and some place finishers and some kids get some experience down the state tournament. That just helps you so much in the following year.
Well, it doesn't seem that long ago that Cale and Caleb were freshmen on the team, and I remember Caleb's first state championship match against Nick Oldham vividly. You know, it seems like their high school careers have gone by pretty fast, haven't they?
Yeah, it seems like we blinked, and we've got like 39 days left until the state tournament. So it's unbelievable that we're that far through their senior year already,
mm-hmm.
Let alone it being their senior year. And they've been such a huge part of building our program to where it's at right now. You know, I'm excited to see those guys graduate from high school and go on to their and wrestle in college and see how good they will be. But the other side of that is it's going to be hard not to have them in our room anymore. That's going to be a tough thing.
Oh, sure. Well, it's not every day that you get a chance to coach a kid like Caleb. He's on pace to win his third state title, which would put him in pretty exclusive company. I know you've told me before that you just try not to screw him up, but, you know, do you wake up every day thinking about how lucky you are to have an opportunity to coach, you know, one of the state's all-time greatest wrestlers?
I wake up every day and feel that exact thing. I don't know how many coaches get to coach a two-time state champ and, you know, and have another one go for the third. But that is a pretty special thing for just a kid from Melcher, Dallas that didn't have much of a wrestling team growing up. So to get the opportunity to lead that team and have the coaching staff and that we have is amazing. And, you know, there is so much that goes into our program that is so much bigger than just me. You know, our assistant coaches, the wrestling club that some of our kids are in has done some tremendous things with our kids. And that supplemental coaching out of season has absolutely skyrocketed our program. And then they're able to bring that stuff into the room, and it just makes everybody better. it takes a whole family of people and coaches and parents and wrestlers to develop kids like we have right now. And I thank God every day that I get to lead this program. It's phenomenal.
All right, Jack. Well, hey, really enjoyed the conversation tonight. Thanks a lot for your time, and good luck the rest of the week.
All right. I appreciate it, Dan. Thank you. Have a good night.
You bet. You too. All right. You're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest's premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my final guest tonight is a sophomore 182-pounder for the Hawks. He ignited his team to the win over Centennial on Monday with a fall over Caden Kaser in 1 minute 51 seconds in the opening match of the meet. He is Cade Benetham. Cade, thanks for joining me on the phone. How you doing?
Doing all right. How are you?
Hey, good. Well, congrats on the win the other night. Did it feel pretty good to beat your crosstown rival for the first time in 4 years?
Yeah. I haven't had too many meets against them, but yeah, winning against Centennial always feels good.
Sure. Well, were you guys pretty confident going into the meet?
We got some weights that are a little bit, not quite the depth that we want them, but yeah, I think we all thought we would win at least.
Uh-huh. Well, Coach told me that you guys didn't know that Centennial would be a little shorthanded, but when you found out that they would be missing a couple of their key guys at the lower weights, did you feel like, you know, that kind of gave your team, you know, the edge then? Yeah, I think you guys still would have won the meet even if they'd been in the lineup. But, it probably did help you guys a little bit. Well, you had to wrestle, you know, the first match of the meet, which could put some pressure on you. Do you like, you know, wrestling that first match right off the bat, or would you prefer to wrestle later in the meet?
I usually like to wrestle more towards the middle. I think first and last are probably the two worst spots. But, yeah, I'm glad I got the fall to kick it off.
Now, had you ever wrestled Kaiser before? All right. So did you go out there with any kind of strategy, or are you just trying to wrestle your match?
Just wrestling how I wrestle.
Well, I'm trying to remember. What was the move that you made to pin him?
I'm not quite sure. I don't.
Might have been just kind of a scramble, huh?
No, when I'm wrestling, I don't remember much.
Uh-huh. Do you have, like, a favorite move that you like to use, though?
Head and arm pinning combination I use a lot.
All right. Well, you guys won 7 of the first 8 matches to build a 34-6 lead before Centennial won the next 3 matches to narrow the gap a little bit. But, of course, you guys had Caleb Rocci waiting to go at 152, and it was his pin that sealed the deal. You know, was there any doubt in your mind that Caleb would clinch the victory?
No. I think Caleb's pretty much, you can count on him to get the pin most matches.
Well, you've been a teammate of his for a season and a half now. Can you describe what it's like to have a guy like that in the wrestling room with you? Does he just raise the bar for everybody else?
Yeah, he goes in there, brings the energy up. It's fun to watch wrestle.
I'll bet. Well, now, Caleb started the season at 160 before dropping down to 152. And, of course, you're at 182, so you're obviously a little bit bigger than him. Do you ever work out with him, or do you guys have different partners?
I've drilled with him a couple practices, but not usually.
Uh-huh. What was that like?
It's intense. He goes hard in practices like we all do, but I haven't really wrestled too much live against him, so.
All right. Well, Nate Nessa obviously had a big win over Carter Cahill in the final match at 170 on Monday. I imagine you probably have some good workouts with him, don't you?
Yeah, he's usually my practice partner.
Well, of course, he came here from Ballard after, you know, moving into Ankeny. He's been a nice addition to the team, hasn't he? Well, what are your goals for the rest of the season? Do you feel like you could contend for a conference title and a berth to state?
I think I definitely have a shot if things line up correctly, but just be hopeful.
Still got some work to do, though, don't you?
Yep.
Well, Fort Dodge's Ben Egley is ranked a fifth in your weight class, but you pinned him earlier this season in a dual meet. Do you remember how you were able to pin him? Well, you could see a lot more of him this season because you guys will travel to Fort Dodge for both the conference and district tournaments. But I imagine that earlier victory, you know, that's going to give you some confidence that you can probably beat him again, isn't it?
Yeah, I think definitely experience with kids and then wrestling him again helps a lot.
Well, after facing him, you know, what do you think is the key to beating him again whenever you do see him again? All right. Well, last year, Ankeny placed seventh in the state tournament. You know, do you think this team is capable of, you know, potentially finishing even higher?
Yeah. I think we're really well conditioned this year. It gives us an edge over a lot of other teams. I think we can definitely do good there.
All right, Cade. Well, thanks a lot for your time, though. I appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the season.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. I want to thank my guests again for calling tonight on the phone. We had Centennial coach Jay Groth, along with Ankeny coach Jack Wignall, and one of his wrestlers, Cade Benetham. At Coldwell Banker Mid-America, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. We'll come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.